besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm still Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. Last week we had a very special interview with Miss Fiercelicious, left both of us sweating bullets.
ASMR that'll make your ears bleed.
My favorite is after the ASMR, you just hear Cynthia go, please stop.
Please stop.
please stop. Please stop doing that. So that was super fun. And we're back. We're still on our interview game. We've got another interview coming up today. Yes. Who are we interviewing today, Cynthia?
Oh, my God. I am so excited. We're switching things up. We've typically at this point only had drag queens and then judges from Canada's Drag Race, like alum in that world. But we're going the next tier out in the drag industry. We're talking to an incredible talent. They have a history in theater, music production. It's the one, the only, Andrew Barrett Cox. And they have a lot of fun connections to the drag industry.
Mm-hmm. ABC.
I kept calling him ABC. I just felt like it like worked.
It just worked. Yeah, it works.
I didn't even clarify if people call him that. I was just like, you and I, hey, ABC.
ABC. Yeah, you were like, it's our thing. But he's very talented, very sweet. The most New York person I think that you could chat with. It felt like I was in a club that I had to do a secret password for to come in.
And SQ Cuties. Listen to some of the sentences Andrew says. It's so New York. It's amazing. Love it.
I was obsessed. There was moments where I was just like, yes, of course. I felt like I was in a dark bathroom in a private nightclub, and we were just like catching up, and he was just telling me about fabulous things. Yes. So that's very much the vibe of this interview. We really hope you guys enjoy it. And so without any more waiting, let's get right to our interview with Mr. Andrew Barrett Cox. All right. So he is responsible for such hits like Jantasy, Sweet and Sour, and the iconic Let Loose. We have Andrew Barrett Cox. Hi, Diva.
Let freaking loose. How are both of you doing?
We are phenomenal. Andrew, off the top of the episode, I have to know.
What?
How do you like to let loose?
How do I let loose? I have to tell you guys, letting loose for me, I haven't let loose in a long time. I'm going to be honest with you, but I am planning a trip to go to Halloween Horror Nights this year. So that is going to be the next time I let freaking loose.
Okay, can I say, I worked too hard.
I know.
I literally was planning to go there for my birthday this year. So please tell me how it is. I want to go so bad. Have you ever been?
Okay, of course. I go basically every year.
You've been? Really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God. I want to go so bad. Do you know what that is, Cynthia?
No. Juice teaches me things. I love it.
You're learning.
It's where they turn Universal Studios into like a big horror thing.
Oh, you have to go. That's so
It's very, very up my alley. I would love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Andrew, we're wondering, because of these hits that we're kind of familiar with, because we're within the Drag Race realm, so that's kind of where we were introduced to you. What?
What?
So that's how we were sort of introduced to all this. So we want to know sort of, where did your love of music come? How did you sort of fall into music production with drag queens? Because we are absolute nightmares to work with. So I can't see why people would end up working with us. So how did you fall into it?
No, I love the drag queens. They're so great. It's funny. It's actually, I started composing and producing in high school, and I grew up, surprise, surprise, in a very musical theater oriented world. So I was doing musicals and performing, and I actually went originally to college for musical theater. I was there for a week. And then I was like, oh, wait, I don't want to do this. And at that point, I had realized that I wanted to be writing music. And I was at Emerson in Boston, and I was going to transfer schools. But then I was like, you know what, I might as well just like keep doing what I'm doing. I'd already made friends here, and it's close to close to home. So I just switched to audio post-production. They didn't teach me a damn thing, but I kept learning on my own on YouTube and stuff. And so that started, and then I watched the movie Party Monster in my freshman year of college, and I turned that into an immersive pop musical. I did. And
Clubland, right?
Clubland, yes. Oh, look at you go. Yeah. Yes.
Diva, we researched, please.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. So that was an immersive club musical. And I wanted to do it there because I was doing the Donkey Show at ART in Boston. And so I was just starting to get into like immersive nightlife. And that is, it's such a great show. And it's like such a staple for like how things are done. So we did it there. And I originally was like, well, of course, like the reason why Party Monster stuck with me is I was like, you know, like, the only representation I had of gay people growing up was like really stereotypical, like you're a hairdresser, you're like a sassy gay friend. And so I was like, oh wait, yeah, I could be a like drug addict, sociopath, murderer. Like that's fun. Like we can also be that.
Finally, something but do you a little get it? More interesting.
Yeah. So I was like, wait, yeah, like there's more depth to us than that. So that's really why I was obsessed with it. And so I was trying, I wrote the role of Michael as sort of like a, what a dream role of my, cause I wouldn't, you would never cast me as like a Sweeney Todd. You know what I mean? Like you're going to cast this like big bro, you know? So I was like, let me make this role that's like really dark and creepy, but also like really high screamy tenor. That's fun. So I was looking for somebody and I was like, who am I going to fucking find here in Boston that can do this? And I had remembered this kid that I was at a pool party with in high school, and I knew he was going to Boca, which was like down the street for me. And her name was Charlie Mantione. And I said, let me bring this girl into audition. And sure enough, the girl slaughtered it. And he ended up playing Michael, killed it. And through that, we became really, really good friends. And then I sort of got into, via that, the club kid scene and the like nightlife scene and started doing nightlife and performing through that. And then years and years later, that little girl who played Michael Alec became Jan. So.
Oh my God. I thought you meant like a cis woman. I am so sorry.
Well, I tricked you. I brought you on that ride.
We talked about pronouns beforehand, Juice. We are using them fluidly.
I know. I'm so sorry. I was just like, I was like, Jan?
That's incredible, Andrew. So that's how you and Jan met.
Yeah,
isn't that funny?
Oh my God, you went to the Jantasy early.
I did. And it's funny because the second song in Clubland, I wanted to write for him. And I remember saying, I was like, I want to write you a song that only you are going to be able to sing. And so there are like there are riffs in that that like literally he can only sing. And then when he got on Drag Race, and I do all like the costumes and stuff too. So when he got on Drag Race the first time, there was no chance for me to write anything, but it was like right. Sorry, we're getting dark right off the bat. It was right after I got out of like a really bad depression. And Charlie and I, sorry, I'll start saying Jan, but Jan and I started rekindling our friendship because I was living in LA and he was on a cruise contract and then moved to New York and started drag. And we had like a bit of a, not a falling out, but like it was just a friend drift apart, right? So I got back to New York and there was a moment where this more evolved Jan that I had ever known came up to me and was like, hi, we're here. We're back. Like we hadn't been in each other's lives, but we're about to be. And I was like, okay. And it was so serendipitous because then like weeks later, he called me and was like, I'm on Drag Race. Let's do these costumes. So that was cool. And I got to design those outfits for him. Very fulfilling. And then of course, literally right after the show aired, he got the call to be on All Stars. And then we got, you know, it said, you're going to do this thing. So for the
get your head in the game.
Yeah. Like for the what is it? Talent show.
For the All Stars talent show.
So I was like, honey, I just want to do something like Unstoppable. I was like, I want. And so if you listen to Unstoppable and Jantasy, like they're kind of the same song.
Oh, I totally get that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, so it was a cool, like, historical moment just for the two of us, but and, like, nobody else. But, yeah, it's been really cool.
But that's nice
cool.
to have those moments with friends, right?
Right.
And then it broke you into sort of, like, this other sort of world of Drag Race.
It did, yeah. And via that, via Jan doing more drag. And I've actually, fun fact, Miss Lucy was in Clubland as well. And she was,
it's
she
the
played
Mickey
herself.
Mouse Club of Drag Race.
It really is. Isn't yeah, that funny?
I need to know who else was in this to know who's going to be on the radar for the next seasons.
That's it. There was another
Andrea
drag queen in it.
Was just an extra.
There was only one other drag queen in it, and she's dead now. So.
Oh,
no.
True.
Rest in peace. Her, no, she was amazing. Her name was Portia Lynn Aquarius. She was so great. Rest in peace. I know, not great, but
oh she no, is that's dead. It's I funny know, in the good. Moment because it takes you off guard, but I know. It is sad.
Yeah, she was one of like, the Andrew. First drag queens I ever met, and now, yeah, it was not good.
Because you have such a cool ear to pop music, are there any like of your favorite components to a great pop song? Like, it has to have a this, it has to have a this. Like, what inspires you to make that kind of clean, fun, danceable music?
If I mean, I feel like
I'm just so curious. I feel like music is this art form I don't know how to create. Oh. So when someone knows how to make music, I'm like, how does one do? So cool.
Well, music.
Music. It's funny because for Drag Race, I mean, my signature thing is like really high singing. So people will often listen to something and be like, this reminded me of you. And it's just someone screaming. And I'm like, all right, I get it. or if it's like really fast, a lot of what I grew up listening, I mean, I really grew up listening to like a lot of musical theater, but then, you know, even back in 2010, like I would speed things up on my phone. So I like things that are really fast, really high energy. I listened to a lot of K-pop. Up
Bloody Mary by Lady Gaga.
Like, I was already doing that.
You were ahead of the TikTok trends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way ahead. And, so, you know, I was a lot of like J-pop, K-pop, like anime music is like really what excites me and gets me going. So, when I have to do something other than that, it like feels weird to me, but I'm like, okay. Like even when Lemon was like, this is what I want it to sound like. I was like, are you sure? For Sweet and Sour. But
I was literally about to say, I was like, cause Lemon's isn't like that. I was like, right. Lemon's is a lot more like chill and kind of like rappy, and
right.
Jan's stuff is a lot more like, you know?
Lemon came to me. I forget what songs, I don't even know what the songs were, but she was like, I want it to sound like this and this and this. And I was like, okay. So, but I did it. And you know what? It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, I want you to make me a song that sounds like Mambo Number 5 and Cha-Cha Slide.
Because those are classics. But in terms of like
sample
style. Oh God. Yeah. We'll sample. We'll figure that out. I've never sampled anything.
You know, not only working with me, because that's going to happen, I'm manifesting it, ABC, yes. Andrew Barrett Cox. Are there any other drag queens you are dying to work with?
Well, it's so funny. The only, I got a message after Let Loose sort of had its little moment from Mr. Landon Sider. And Landon was like, hey, I would love to do a song with you. And I love the Dragula. I really do. I'm a slut for horror. It is my thing. And Dragula really inspires me. It does. Because, you know, they're all still, for the most part, making their own costumes. And it's, you can tell how much time goes into these looks and into all of this. And for me, Dragula is just season by season, just getting better and better and better and better. And the Boulets are like really starting to lock in on what this is. And it's still in its baby form. And I know that's like weird to say, but it's only what? They've only done 4 seasons, 5 seasons? 4, 5.
Yeah, it hasn't been many. So it's still kind of in those like early production stages, you know?
It would be so cool to listen to something you create with a Dragula queen versus someone like Jan. Like Jan comes with that like bubblegum pop, which is so fun with those huge vocals. But then where you could twist it for like that Dragula spin would be very cool.
Almost like that hyper pop rock kind of aspect to it. Like that. Like
my mind
like
goes there. I go back to Party Monsters for you. That's really cool. You got to work with some more spooky queens. And then
I very much get like I believe in a thing called love.
I love it.
No, you know what Juice wants to do?
Yeah.
Juice has this idea of soft acoustic covers of other queens' music.
Right? Like do I it. Just, right? Just soft acoustic cover of just like the most stupid Drag Race songs, but just so overtly serious, you know? That's my idea. Thank
I'm
you.
Obsessed.
I feel
you
validated.
I said let loose. Oh, yeah.
Wait, okay, but I just saw a vision of you standing like over an open casket singing Let Loose.
And Lucy, dead.
Dead. The girls.
Dead.
Yeah. Ladies, she would do a lot of death on this episode.
I know.
Christina's death.
Always
ups the stakes. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I always say that. I love upping the stakes. So something that I've noticed with you, I've been looking at a lot of your website and your production and stuff like on your Instagram, and you've got wardrobes. I'm seeing you sew all the time. You're making music, you're at parties, and you're making productions. Like you've got, it seems like there is a lot on your plate and it truly kind of feels like you do everything. So like, how do you really juggle this busy schedule? Because it doesn't sound like you're getting a day off until October. Do you just kind of like no sleep club, another club, and then just sort of like go off the seat of your pants? Are you like addicted to the adrenaline? Like what's going on?
I am addicted to the rush. and let me tell you what the driving factor is, honey. The moolah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's all about the money because this girl wants a lake house at some point in my life, and I don't have that yet. So I'm going to just keep going. People are always like, oh, God, you're doing all this stuff. I said, yeah, yeah, I want money. I want money. And, you know, I still haven't gotten to where I want to be in my, I guess, career. And so I'm just trying to do as much as I can to work towards that place because I know at some point I'm going to want to not slow down. Actually, the happiest is when I'm working. Like as much as I complain about it, like that is what fulfills me. It's like creating new stuff and doing things and just go, go, go. And that always has been fun for me. And then, yeah, then I like to have some like few days where I'm like laying by the beach doing nothing. But after a certain amount of time, that stresses me out because I'm like, oh God, I should be doing something. I should be, you know, thinking about this.
What's
or
your
that.
Sign? I need to know.
I am a Leo.
Love that. That tracks. We love a Leo here.
What are your signs?
I'm a Virgo.
Okay.
So Virgo, yes.
Virgo,
yes.
And I am an Aries.
Okay, I'm an Aries rising.
Ooh, yes. Sexy. I love that. Yeah.
Double fire.
So what's the end game? You said that you're not where you want to be at in your career yet. There's an end goal there because it feels like you're quite busy and you're quite successful. What's end game? What's the goal?
Lake house.
Corn juice. We said that. I was going to say. I was
like, the lake house.
The house in front of the lake.
I thought, I don't know, like Broadway or something like that. Like, I didn't know, like, what the big dream is, if there is a bigger dream than this.
I'm going to say it here, and hopefully I don't end up eating my words, but Broadway is an absolute disaster. So I'm not really interested in that girl at the moment.
We're Canadians. We wouldn't know. We're Canadians. We're up in the north. Yeah.
I mean, Patti LuPone said it best. I forget exactly what she said, but she was like, Broadway is a theme park now. And I buy it. And I think, you know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of really good stuff going on. And I know it sounds stupid, but like Legally Blonde was on Broadway. And like Legally Blonde is so fucking good. Like it is one of the best movie musical and like, you know, whatever that is, shows.
Crossover.
But we had like Rent and Spring Awakening. And there was stuff that was going on that was just like, hell yeah, this is good. And now there's three shows on Broadway with Britney Spears songs. And not that Britney Spears isn't amazing, but I think Broadway is like, let's curate things for this specific audience. And actually that audience does not want that, right? Like they're trying to make it more pop and they're trying to make it this thing. And it's like, no, actually, like we still care about like having a genuine emotion when we're going to see a show and we want a story and we want to be taken somewhere.
In contrast with Broadway, like, cause you've written entire musicals, like,
right.
So obviously like your, what is your process like that? How does it contrast from what we're seeing at theme park Broadway?
I think for me, like coming in and having, okay. So for right now, so I'm in London right now. We're doing this show that my friend Mark and I wrote called Oscar at the Crown. He wrote the book and it's been almost a decade creating this thing. And I did all the
congratulations.
Oh, thanks. So cool. It's musical. And we're bringing it to the Edinburgh. I gotta say that right. Edinburgh.
Good. That's not Edinburgh. Good.
Edinburgh. Yeah. Edinburgh.
You gotta roll the R.
Yes, Edinburgh. That's hard. But this is, surprise, an immersive club musical. So you come in and you drink and it's fun, screaming, fast, in your face music.
It's giving Sleep No More, that like immersive we love, theater. Love, girl, you dive in. Cool.
But then over the course of this story, you are taken on a ride. And by the end, you might be crying. And when we did it last time, it was 2018-19. This is pre-pandemic. And, you know, you come get drunk and you dance, but by the end of the show, like, people would leave sobbing. And, like, in a great way. It's not like, but, like, it was important that the show, like, touched people and wasn't just like, oh, that was fun. You know, like,
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want to do
leave a mark, you know?
I do. Yeah. I want to say something. Mm-hmm. I want to like help people. And I think that's what, this is so gay, but like, I think that's what art should do, right? Like it should help change. You should leave different than when you came in.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course you could go see a show and like just get drunk and be like, that was fun. That was a good escape. But hopefully anything that I write or put out makes you leave thinking. Like that's my favorite thing about horror movies, right? Like the best horror movies you think about afterwards for like weeks. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. Hereditary, forget about it. Like I didn't stop mm-hmm. thinking about that movie for weeks after I saw it. I'm still thinking about Toni Collette, you know?
I never look out of a car anymore. Say.
Oh,
I
God,
don't stick
yeah.
my head out of a car window.
Is that the one where she's like, I am your mother? Is that Hereditary?
Yes.
Okay, I'm too scared to watch it.
Tony's no, there. It's fabulous.
It's okay.
You gotta do it. Scared. You
well, I get scared. Cynthia knows my scared mm-hmm. thing. I
mean, but if you want to get scared, do it.
I love that.
But that's my thought.
So you are in the UK kind
yes.
of. So that was our next question was like, when we were setting up this interview, you're in the UK.
Yes.
You're working on this musical. So you were saying it's a decade in the making. Can you explain sort of what that is then? Like he
God,
wrote a
yeah.
book like a decade ago and it's kind of just been growing from there.
Yeah. So it's so funny. So we met surprise at the Donkey Show. It's all coming back to the Donk.
It's full circle.
Full circle. He played Wheel Good, mm-hmm. which is like the Puck character because the Donkey Show is A Midsummer Night's Dream, but set at Studio 54 Disco. So it's all disco songs. It's
cool.
Awesome. It was a really pivotal show for me because I went in and I played Peas Blossom, which was one of the fairies, but all the fairies were go-go boys. So I knew going in that I would have to be naked, but I had a lot of like, you know, I was very self-conscious about my body. But I was like, okay, here I go. I'm going to be covered in glitter and in my underwear. And it made me very comfortable in my skin. And it was just great. And that's the power of freaking glitter. And that's where Mark and I met. And at the time, he had just written this play, I would call it. It was a performance art play thing at Harvard called Julie Cooper Genesis Prayer. And for those who don't know, Julie Cooper is a character from the television series The OC. And
oh my God, yes.
Yes. And in episode 36, Julie Cooper is at dinner and she says, "Why wouldn't America be fascinated with the lives and loves of Orange County's rich and fabulous? We're all beautiful and we're all dysfunctional. Surf, sex, and scandal. It's a recipe for a cultural phenomenon, don't you think?" Essentially predicting reality television. Because at this point in our culture, we had not had reality television. So stemming off of this Genesis prayer that Julie Cooper said, this is the brilliance of Mark, right? He talks about the growth of like reality TV and what that's done to us. And then we get into social media and then we all have the ability to make reality television. So, and at this point it was really early on in like Instagram. So the thesis mm-hmm. of the whole piece was like, you know what, what's the problem if we would just want to get a like or two, like that's not so harmful. Mm-hmm. And now look at where we've come with like social media and culture and how like, you know, now we've gone there for politics and it encompassed our entire lives. And then after that, a few years after that, he wrote his thesis was on Oscar Wilde. And he was like, "Hey, can you write some music for this?" And I was like, "Of course." I mean, I actually didn't see that production because I was doing a show. This is after I'd graduated. But I wrote these songs for the show. And then after I had moved back from Los Angeles, where I wanted to fully off myself, he said, "I think I want to do something with Oscar again." I was like, okay, great. And so when we started talking, I was like, actually, I think the thesis of both of your shows, the show that I loved of yours and Oscar, is the same. I was like, is there a world in which like both of these things kind of mesh into one thing? And he's like, okay. So 2017, we tried to incorporate all this stuff and it was still like, we don't know. And then we started working on it even more and this idea of like the bunker came and essentially it takes place in this I wouldn't say post-apocalyptic, but it's this alternate timeline future where it's this fascist America. And if you are othered in any way, you're kicked out of society and thrown into a desert. And these exiles have found themselves in a bunker, which we always think is like an abandoned Amazon warehouse. So they're there and all they have is the complete works of Oscar Wilde and DVDs of The Real Housewives and The OC. So they create this whole religion around this idea that Oscar Wilde was the first reality television star. Whoa. So yeah, it's really weird and funky, but it's spooky crazy. Yeah. And just over time it's gotten stronger and stronger, and it's definitely weird, but it's like the stuff that I love. So
fun weird.
It's fun weird, and like Hereditary, like I hope people leave and are like, I got it, but like I didn't get it. Like I want people to kind of leave being like, I want people to go and like have to Wikipedia it afterwards and be like, now, because it is so layered. And at the Edinburgh Festival, like we only have an hour. So we have to tell this massive story that is so layered in an hour. And I always said it would be a great movie because we're telling like multiple different stories. And there's like the one reality that's actually what is happening. And like, it's a bunch of these exiles and they haven't eaten and they have missing limbs. And they're like in the dark being like, we love Oscar, right? And then there's the reality of like what they think is happening, which is they're performing at Madison Square Garden and they're in these fabulous outfits. And then there's this other little reality that's like, well, maybe this is really like Oscar Wilde and Constance Wilde and Bozzie and like this whole Oscar story, like reincarnated now. It's really layered, but that is the brilliance of Mark and his ability to put all this stuff together. So wow. It's cool. It's kooky.
It's
yeah,
huge,
but it's
concept.
It's
how
big.
It feels like there's a how lot big is there. Your cast for this?
So, oh boy. So uh-oh. The first time we did it,
we got a big eye roll from
Amy. Oh, big eye roll. Yeah.
So the first time we did it, it was with 14 people, which was great because a lot of the music. It was awesome being able to write the music, but then in 2017, I was like, I want to choreograph it. So that was my first time being able to choreograph this music because I knew I wanted to incorporate a lot of whacking and Vogue elements because I'm a big whacker. Shout
because
out to
Vanessa Fox. Hudgens was really into voguing.
She was into voguing, but yeah. Yes, of course. But I learned everything I know about whacking from Miss Princess Lockeroo, who is the queen of whacking. If you don't know Princess Lockeroo, go and look that girl up. She is freaking bananas. And so a lot of the choreography incorporates whacking. But I wanted to have this like queer underground vibe. And it was great because we were able to have a lot of dancers who were just dancing and just fucking working it. But in London right now, we have a bit of a smaller cast. So it is a 9-person cast here. Mm. Hopefully that will grow after we are doing this Fringe Festival, but TBD.
But for now, we're so excited for you. This sounds very, very cool. It's if kooky. Any of our listeners are in the UK, check this out.
Oh, yeah.
When are tickets on sale, if not right now? Sorry,
tickets
apologies.
Are on sale right now, and it runs
on sale,
through,
listeners.
Yes, it is running through all of August.
Oh. Incredible.
Yes,
oh
I think
God,
we're...
Cindy,
what?
I'm going to be in the UK.
I was going to say, I didn't know if that was a secret or not, so I was just like, I started and then I stopped.
Oh,
yeah,
my
so
goodness,
you are be
for Dragfest, yes. Oh, yeah. I want to come.
God.
I'm absolutely going to come.
Wait, that'd be incredible. So fucking sick. Please, I mean, I'm you don't have so to put there. This in, but please let me know and I'll get you guys tickets and all that stuff.
Oh my God. I'm not famous enough, so I will not be in the UK in August, but Cynthia
Same.
Will be.
Sorry, Juice. Okay.
I'm only there for a little bit. But.
So since this is a drag podcast, we gotta ask.
Yeah.
Have you done drag, or is this something you're gonna be doing more in the future? Is drag
okay.
Like, where does drag fit into your art on the table, that plate?
Yeah. Like, are you a future Rusical winner? Like, is that what we're getting at? Like, that's a big no. Okay.
That's a head shaking no right there.
That's a head shake. Absolutely not. Yeah, that was a nope.
Okay, I'm going to admit something to you both.
Ooh.
So, oh God, how do I want to talk about this? All right. Drag is such an interesting, I hate that word, is such a juicy concept to me.
Juicy is a great word. I'm biased.
Oh, you're so right. Because what is drag, right? What is drag? I feel like I do drag in so many different ways in my life already. Right now, I think I'm in my male drag phase, which is like not normal, but I'm realizing that people find me more attractive if I have a beard and I, you know, look a certain way versus other ways.
I feel that.
And I'm chill with that. And I don't mind the attention. I'm a Leo. So that's fun. And it's fun to play with different versions of myself. And I feel like I've been a lot of different versions
like
of
myself. Archetypes, if you will.
Yeah. And so I feel like I'm always doing drag. But of course, the more elevated drag for me really the things that I gravitate towards are more like punk and horror, and that's probably why I love Dragula so much. But I started getting into drag via the party monster of it all. So for me, like club kid drag and really abstract, wacky fashion and stuff is where that's what gives me a little bit of a boner, right? That's what gets me going, oh, okay, I want to be doing that. So I love all of that. And I understand that that really isn't mainstream. Like that isn't what has become like, oh, this is what it should be. But I do love it. And, you know, when Jan was doing Drag Race and doing all this stuff, I was like, oh, well, maybe I should be doing drag and all this stuff. So not no. And I do like doing it. Like sometimes like the things that I want to do have a more feminine flair than others. And, you know, if I want to like put a character together that has pigtails and is more of a femme character, great, then I'm doing that. But sometimes it's more of like a masculine character, or, you know, we talked about pronouns. This is all fluid. Ramona Singer said on Real Housewives, liquid, right? Oh, you're liquid. So it's all liquid.
I love that.
Yeah. So, but drag, I did the Alaska Drag Queen of the Year competition pageant.
Right.
And that was fun. It was not fun, but it was fun. But it was like, it was actually great because
it's a pageant. They're hard, you know, right. They're a lot of work.
It was kooky. Yeah. And like the theater was a disaster and, you know, just a lot went wrong. But I had never, for me, and you guys would love to know your thoughts on this, but for me, like, doing that level of drag and doing that thing is really like you have to take care of yourself and give a lot of energy towards yourself, which is something that I think I struggle with. So it was for the first time that I was like, cool, I'm spending money on myself. I'm doing this for myself. Like these are, you know, when I'm designing for other queens, it's awesome. But this was a moment where I had to be like, cool, what are the characters I want to be? What do I want to look like? So it was
a journey of self-discovery, I find.
Yeah, it was. I think drag is everywhere. And I think it's definitely going to be a part of everything. Even the costume, I could show you some of the costumes from the show that's happening now, but everyone's in drag, you know, like it is pop star, crazy drag. And it's such a loaded question. I know that's so annoying of me to say, but
I would rather you answer honestly than give something that like ties up with a bow for the sake of a fucking podcast. I think that's cool. A listener would resonate with that more than I totally get that.
Yeah.
Juice and I, we were blown away with the looks we saw on your Instagram and your website online. Are you constructing these things yourself? Like, are you a sewer?
I do sew. So I sew when I can, but I also I love to support queer artists. And so sometimes I will say, you know what, this is a garment that I could not construct or do not have time to construct. So I would love to pay a designer to do it. Design it and then be like, here's what I want. But for example,
so you conceptualize.
There's a combination going on right now where I'm sewing here in London, but then I've also commissioned a few people. Crimson, who's an amazing queen based out of DC. Pioretta.
Oh, I love Crimson. Yes.
Crimson
so
did
sweet.
Some work on this show. Pioretta, who's another fabulous costume designer in New York, is making some things. I have Casey Caldwell, who is the Emmy Award winning costume designer from We're Here, has been making some things. So it's been great because now that I have this like bank of drag designers and people that work in the drag sphere, I can say, hey, I'd love to, you know, with the budget that I have, hey, I mean, no, we have a good budget. I think I'm paying them what they want, which is, I hope, but
good.
You know,
yeah.
I'm able to say here, please do this now. And then I can supplement where I need to supplement. Whereas last time we did the show, I made everything myself. So it's great now that I can sort of branch out as I grow. So it's a little
Isn't
bit of
such a good feeling where it you can is. Kind of picture something in your mind and then also work with someone who could make it even bigger
even
and better,
better
than what you'd
even
imagined.
Better. God, yeah.
So
it can become
exciting.
Like a collaborative effort between, because they have their talents and their visions.
Totally.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love
okay,
that.
Cool,
yeah.
I was going to be honest. Some of the construction, I was like, this kid can do it.
all.
Which one were you thinking?
No, I'm on your website. It's all the harnessy pieces that like I just do not know how to make myself. Like when you, the piece with Jan that looked like a bunch of soccer balls, like that kind of thick leather. I'm like, I don't know how I'm sewing that.
That was Abraham Levy. That one, so that little, that one right there was the zip ties. That was Casey Caldwell. And that was from, he had a collection walk at New York Fashion Week. And he said, let me get the girl in this zip tie outfit. And I said, sure.
And you do a whole little dance. There's a jump split.
Yes, I did a jump split in it. Yes. He was like, I wanted to move. I said, I can move. Yeah.
I can move. I really need to do a jump split. Wow. Yeah.
God,
yeah. We can't do jump splits, so we're very impressed by them.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
No worries. I love it. So, I mean, that's kind of a lot of our questions. Is there anything, because we're going to jump into a cute little lightning round now.
Oh my God, lightning.
You want to, lightnings are super fun, but is there anything you want to kind of promo or say before we kind of jump into that like really lighthearted fun part?
What do I want to promo? I mean, definitely if you want to, honey, go and listen to some tunes. Hopefully you like it. You probably, if you don't like really high, fun, energy stuff, you probably won't. If you're like, I listen to Lana Del Rey all the time, I'm so sorry. Maybe my music isn't for you. And that is okay. Not everybody has to like what I do. But do that. And then I guess the only thing that I would plug, honey, is I work for a company called Daddy TV. We are a pro sex work, pro queer, pro witch television reality company. And we have a lot of shows on Out TV, such as For the Love of Dilfs with Stormy Daniels. We have Hot House with Tiffany Pollard, Fucking Smart with Willem, and Sophie, Iconic Justice with Willem. We have a lot of great television series on Out TV, which is based in Canada, actually. LOL.
Yes. LOL.
Yes. And we have a lot of great stuff coming up. We are just getting started over there. So check those shows out.
Oh, that's so amazing. That's my plug. Include that. We'll include those in the show notes. So all of our listeners, if they want to check it out, it's just a click away. Mm-hmm.
They're great.
But
they're
now,
awesome.
Andrew, are you ready
for a lightning round?
I'm so freaking ready. I'm nervous.
Take it away, Juice. It's an either or situation. It's super easy. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay. Sweet or sour?
Sweet.
Lemon or Jan?
Faggot. Oh my God, this is tough. I love them both. I have to say Jan. I've known her for longer, but I would sleep with Jan. Lemon over Jan.
Oh, my sweet baby Lemon. Everyone's favorite bottom. Musicals or pop?
Pop. Oh God.
Nice. Drag Race or Dragula? I think I know
Dragula.
The answer.
Heels or flats?
Heels.
Mm. Sushi or pizza?
Sushi.
Cute.
Barbie or Oppenheimer?
Oh, Barbie, and I've got to go.
There we go. I went last night. It's incredible.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait. Okay, and then last but not least, if you had to write this kind of music for the rest of your life, country or rap music?
Country. I actually have a country show that I've been developing for a minute. I know this sounds crazy, but I grew up on country music, so I love love me some country. And I have a show that I've been working on that is like very deep south bluegrass dark country, set in Wilder, Kentucky, which I know is not the deep south, but it's gonna sound
I am so there. I love country music so much.
Spooky, yeah.
I love that.
Do you watch Ghost Adventures? Have you ever seen Ghost Adventures?
I know it, but I've never watched it.
Okay, it's like one of my favorite shows. I've seen every goddamn episode. And they go to this place in Wilder, Kentucky called Bobby Mackey's Music World. And it is like the most haunted bar in America. And it just has a lot of history. And so I wrote a little show about it. I did, called Wilder. Working on that now. Yeah.
Andrew, I love that. You're closer to your lake house than you think.
Yeah.
God, do you know who has my dream life?
That lake house is real close.
I got to tell you who has my dream life. Stephen King. He is doing it right. He lives in a mansion with spiderweb gates on a lake in Maine. And he just writes his spooky stories. And we eat them the fuck up. And then when he needs to travel, he can travel. But he's got that house. And damn, I'm looking at it going, I want a house with spiderweb gates.
You're on Zillow. You're on the Zillow app looking at all the listings.
Zillow, I'm ready for my spiderweb gates, and I want to have the scariest house on Halloween. I want all the kids in the neighborhood to come. I want to spook them all. I want to give them the best candy. God, yeah.
I love that.
I want to build a haunted house.
As a homeowner that lives outside of the city, owning a house and then just being able to just travel out for things is freeing. It's lovely.
Can I tell you how jealous I am of you? That is bananas.
You can move into the basement whenever you want, Diva. It's yours.
I would love to.
I'm so horny when Juice talks about home renos. I'm like, oh, send me a before and after.
Wait, Cynthia, you have the before and after.
I'm in a cute townhouse.
Yeah, that's really cute. Canada. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very lucky. It's a rental, and there's no lake, but okay. I'm pretty blessed.
Yes.
You are. You guys are doing fabulous.
We're doing fabulously, but we're also in Canada. It's a little bit cheaper than New York. So So it's just, and also our dollar is worse, but that's fine. But thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. It was so fun having you here and being able to pick your brain. We're usually more of we usually just do drag queens, right? So this is the first time being able to speak to somebody who's kind of on the outskirts of that world. So it's kind of cool to be able to open up to those different things and to be able to sort of chat that way and expose that to our viewers. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you being on today.
Of course. Hopefully I didn't disappoint in viewers or listeners. If you're listening and you're like, who the fuck is this queer? I'm sorry.
No, the SQ cuties are a loving bunch. And again, click those links if anything piqued your interest. And I can be making sure I drop you a line, Andrew, when I'm in the UK, because this production you're working on sounds very cool.
Yeah, please let me know. I mean, I know it's like, I think it's like a 4-hour train or like 3-hour train ride outside of London proper to get there, but
worth it, babes.
Proper.
So fucking worth it. Yeah.
So fucking worth it. Yeah, I love it. Babes, well, thank you so much, babe. We will chat with you soon.
Okay, love you both.
Fun. That's great.
Do you still have to go to the bathroom because you're nervous for our guest? Or did it go away?
I had to pee. I was nervous. Okay, so
you had a phantom poo. She had a phantom poo.
I had to phantom poo because this was my interview that I had set up. So it was one of those things where it was technically like my guest, I had done a lot of the research. I had done a lot of the questions. So I was just like, what if it doesn't go well? What if like, this is a matter? Like, I hope it goes.
Last week, this girly pop was like emailing other things seconds before we had Miss Fierce Alicious on. And I was like, hey, why don't we just like think about the interview we're about to do? Because this week, it's stressful, right? You're like, I'm bringing somebody on.
It's stressful, yes. Now, it makes me feel more empathetic towards how you were feeling last week, yes.
No worries. Well, I'm glad the phantom poo is gone because that conversation was amazing. Nothing flushable there.
No, super, super fun. We really enjoyed it. And we really hope that you SQ cuties also enjoyed that one. So if you guys want to see anybody on the pod or if you want to chat with us at all, just go to Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod, on Twitter at SQQpod using the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions, or email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
You know what I'm going to tell you? If you want to hear your voice on the podcast, record us a voice message at www.speakpipe.com/SQQpod.
Thank you guys so much. And we will see you next week for a very special interview.
And then it'll be my time to have a phantom poo. Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe this will be Cynthia's choice for next week's interview. But yeah, we're really excited. And don't forget to tell us if you guys want to see somebody on, because we'll try our darndest to get them on. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.